Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, EB, and JP. Cakes will be back on Monday with his victory lap from the World Series of Poker. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to miss that. He cashed in the World Series of Poker. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Mike Florio, editor of ProFootballTalk.com. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
You triggered a lot of people here in the D.C. area.
Okay.
Can you fill us in on kind of your article about what you think the Commanders are doing by bringing back these old uniforms and some of the things they've done in recent times?
What's the quote that Michael Scott used that was from Wayne Gretzky? No, that wasn't that quote. His quote, that was the, you miss every shot you take or some crap like that. The other Gretzky quote is, you don't skate to where the puck is, you skate to where the puck's going to go.
All right.
And ever since Josh Harris bought the team, remember when he bought the team, he used the old name like three times the first day. Mm-hmm. And Magic Johnson tweeted it. And there was a flurry of reporting and questions posed to the team. Hey, are you setting up a return of the old name? No. Harumph, no. And then Dan Quinn shows up at that press conference last May with the non-licensed shirt that had the two feathers on it. And, no. And when you look at what's going on and you broaden the lens, they're trying to get that stadium built. They're trying to get D.C. Council to move forward. There has been reporting, and I think Phil Mendelson, the D.C. Council chair, has said he's heard talk that they may run to the president and get the president to help break this logjam so they can get the thing open in time to try to host the Women's World Cup and the Rugby World Cup, yada, yada. And you got the president saying, I never would have changed the name. Mm-hmm. And then these uniforms land, which look exactly like the old uniforms. And almost every image I saw of the new uniform has the helmet positioned at an angle where you can't see the logo on the side. And it looks like you're looking at 1985 Washington football. And then that video, and I missed the video when it came out, but when I saw that video early yesterday morning as I was doom scrolling, I couldn't believe my eyes, because for a team that has completely shied away from any imagery that uses the old logo, they were all in. They were cannonball in the deep end of the pool. And I just think it's part of this dance of, you know, inching, maybe, oh, no, we have no plans. We're not considering it. Oh, look at this. Hey, look at that. Oh, well, you know, hey, if the president wants it and he's going to help us get this stadium built, well, you know, we got no. I just feel like it's something to watch. And I saw that someone was like, oh, I'm trying to muster up opposition. I don't care. Whatever they do, they do. I don't care about that. But I think it's a fascinating story to monitor, because it feels like something's going on.
Here's the pushback I'd give you, is that when Jason Wright was even here, they were still incorporating the old logo and the, you know, in certain areas of the stadium, or you know, they would do like, I don't know, a Daryl Green room or something, or you know, like even they were trying to incorporate the old with the new, even in the past administration. So I just don't think that that's really a thing, to be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that's out there. It's something that's potential. It's a series of mini trial balloons, and I think the biggest trial balloon is the one that came this week. And when you look at the reaction to it, and it's been predominantly positive, that's just another thing that you file away. And I don't care that Josh Harris has said they're not going back to the old name. Dan Snyder said never, and you can put it in all caps as to changing the name in the first place. So what people say, if we've learned nothing else over the last 10 years of our political life, what people say does not matter. What people say has a shelf life that is like, you know, shorter than any perishable food item you could think of.
Right. But here's the problem, I think, when you look at it from a practical standpoint. And I wish they had never changed it. I wish it just stayed the Redskins. I think it's ridiculous. But whatever. The market spoke. They changed it. They pulled the money. Even if the political winds changed and they got some sort, maybe the scenario you said played out and the president got involved and pressured him and that got him a stadium. If they changed, you know, what's going to prevent them 3 or 4 years from now when the political winds change again and then a big, you know, a big advertiser steps up and says, yeah, we're pulling the money. It just makes them too vulnerable. I don't think they want to open themselves up to that.
Well, that's part of the question they're going to have to ask themselves. And what they need to consider if they would ultimately do this is if you go back to the old name, you just have to tell the world, we don't care what you think. And you can write about it all you want. You can do polls all you want. You can write opinion pieces all you want. You can protest all you want. This is the name of the team.
They do that until they pull the money, Mike. When they pull the money... Well, you know, but, based on political wins.
Unless the world's different.
Yeah, when they pull the money, then it all goes away.
But there's one very big difference. Yeah. Josh Harris is not Dan Snyder. And I think that the stew of factors that led to the decision in July of 2020 to change the name, that was as much, if not more, about Snyder and about the late Fred Smith trying to extricate himself from partnership with Snyder.
I agree.
Because it was the FedEx pressure that really got that ball rolling. And I think it was Ron Rivera as well who was pushing and pushing and pushing. But that's all part of this. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying there's enough of a flirtation with it that it would be foolish to think a multi-billion dollar organization isn't at some level monitoring the reaction and factoring it in to future decisions. And, you know, maybe they just bring back the logo and not the name. Maybe they bring back the logo for a certain period of time, and let's see how permanent the current political change in the winds will last. And maybe at some point the name does come back, or maybe it just comes back on the legacy weekend. I don't know. I just think that, well, I know. The idea that the door is slammed shut on the old name, which is kind of what I thought they were doing, that's done. Because when those uniforms landed this week, they did everything but bring back the old name and the old logo. So, and they kind of know what they're doing. They kind of have that, you know, that glint in the eye as they do it. They know, and the fans know.
Yeah, but they're also doing it because there was unrest. Forget about the name. People hated the uniforms.
Well, that's right, but I think the uniforms look a lot better when you win. You know, the Bengals uniforms look like crap. I almost said the other word until they went to the Super Bowl in 2021. Then they look great.
Right. Yep.
Oh, the Bengals uniforms look great all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, Mike is... it looks like a pumpkin that's, you know, is somebody on meth carved up. Oh, that looks great now.
Right. Mike, has your personal opinion on the name changed?
I'm so worn down by our current political reality that I just don't care about anything anymore. How about that?
I think that's fair.
Florio.
I think that's fair.
They win. I don't care. I have become apathetic. I have become what they want. Somebody who just sits here and says, can we just please end this?
All right. Where do you stand?
Good morning.
Where do
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Where do you stand on the team's prospects, the chances of kind of duplicating what they did last year?
I think that, and the question came up last Friday on my slow time daily podcast. We shut down PFT Live for 6 weeks when it's slow, but it's never slow. So I do 45 minutes a day on my own. Somebody asked what I think of a Bills-Rams Super Bowl. And I said, hey, those are two of the teams that are in the window. Every year there's 10 or 12 teams that are in the window. And there's a team or two that can defy that and play their way into the window. But this year, Commanders are one of the teams in the window. They are one of the teams in the window. I was on in Dallas yesterday, and they were trying to get upset because they don't have the Cowboys in the window. And, you know, ultimately they agreed. Like, they're not. They're just not. And the Commanders are. Now, have they closed the gap sufficiently with the Eagles? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how much from last year carries over. You know, the team, the players, they're a little on the older side. Can they duplicate what they did last year? What's Jaden Daniels going to do in year two after defense has had a full offseason to study what he did last year and try to crack the code a little more cleanly on how to beat him. But I think they're in the window, and it's up to them at this point. But, you know, there's five teams in each conference that I'd look at as being seriously in the window, with maybe another one or two on the fringes, but they're one of the five in the NFC.
Mike, how do you see this Terry McLaurin situation playing out?
They're going to have to pay him. Look, $15.5 million in the last year of his contract. The market's now north of $40 million. This is his last best shot to get paid. I think he turns 30 in September.
Yep.
So this is the time to get paid. And it's a deadline-driven business. It depends on when both sides believe the clock strikes 12. You know, the Cowboys' attitude is the clock doesn't strike 12 until week one. And if the guy holds out, so be it. It's just more publicity for the team. I don't think that's conducive to winning. The goal should be to try to get this thing done and resolved before the first day of training camp and not have a holdout, not have a hold-in, not have acrimony, come up with a proper value. And the complication is when you go pick up Deebo Samuel's contract and you're paying him this year and he's making more cash than Terry McLaurin, that's another sticking point. And I don't think it's a question of whether or not they think he should get another contract. I think the easy answer to that is yes. Does he deserve a contract? Yes. The question is, how do you get the two sides on the same page as to how much that contract should be worth? Is he a north of 30 guy? Is he a south of 30 guy? And 30 may be the magic number. I don't know. And, you know, for some players, all that matters is the APY that gets tweeted by by the insiders who get the best possible characterization of the contract from the agent when the contract is done. And there may be some bullcrap back-end numbers that drive the average higher. Tyreek Hill's deal had that to get him to 30 when it wasn't 30. Devontae Adams' deal when he signed with the Raiders, it had back-end bullcrap to get him to 28. You can do stuff like that if it's about the player. And I don't want to say this in a pejorative way, that it's about his ego, because the APY has become the measuring stick among players on different teams. And that's how you, that's your status symbol. What's my APY? It doesn't matter if it's not backed up by reality. So if that's part of it, they could put something together that pays him as a practical matter less than that number, but gets him to a number that he can feel good about.
Don't they also care about the guaranteed number, though, too? That's the really the number?
Well, what's really the number is the cash flow over the first 2 or 3 years and how much of it's fully guaranteed at signing. How's it structured? Some of these deals are structured with rolling guarantees where you've got 3 years as a practical matter that you're going to get, even if it's not fully guaranteed at signing. There's all sorts of ways to do it. But the cash flow, the structure, you know, the stuff that we dig into when the contract finally is submitted and filed with the union and the league, and we get a copy of it and we break it down. Of course, by then, everybody's moved on. But we try to explain after we discern what is this deal really worth. And most importantly, when can the team rip it up? These are not two-way contracts. The player is under contract for as long as the contract covers. The team can tear it up at any point, and the question becomes figuring out, as a practical matter, the earliest date when the team can rip it up and move on. And, you know, the more guarantees you have, the cap consequences, et cetera, it ties the team to the player, possibly beyond when the team wants to be tied to the player. That's what this whole thing about fully guaranteed contracts and collusion and the Deshaun Watson deal. You know, Deshaun Watson would be long gone from Cleveland by now if he had done a standard quarterback deal. But because it was a five-year fully guaranteed contract, here he is still on the roster going into year four because they're stuck. So those are the factors that become important when we see the back end of the deal. How long is the team stuck with a player who possibly is descending? That's the concern when you get a guy who's about to turn 30.
Mike, what's the likelihood or possibility that they just franchise him and then, you know, typically players don't like that. How often do guys get franchised and yet they still work out a long-term deal so that it doesn't lead to like an inevitable breakup in a year or two?
Well, here's the key. His cap number this year is 25.5, I believe. So that would mean his franchise tag would be a 20% raise.
It's like
over
30 million.
Cap number
it's
in
like
the 30 of his contract. So it's over 30 million.
Yeah.
It would be over 30 million to franchise tag him next year, and that money's fully guaranteed. And, you know, he ends up making $45 million over 2 years in cash, but he's got to get to the franchise tag. They may decide after this year that they don't want a franchise tag. From his perspective, this is the time to get paid. And the gap between him and other receivers is glaring. Now, he's not Ja'Marr Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. But he's not a $15 million a year guy, too. And this is one of the problems with the back end of a second contract. When the total average is in the 20s and you've got $15 million in cash flow the last year, well, your average was much higher. By the time you get to the last year, it doesn't matter. By the time you get to the last year, this is what I'm making. I'm making $15 million, and other guys are making $35, $40 million. I want more. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised they haven't worked it out yet, but it tells me that McLaurin must want a hell of a lot more than what the Commanders have budgeted. And I just, one way or the other, you know, and I said this about other players on other teams, you got two choices, pay the guy or don't. And if you're not going to pay him, then trade him to someone who will. But if you're trying to parlay last year into a step forward this year and your guy's not happy, you either need to get him happy or you need to think about moving on. Because just like the 49ers did with Deebo Samuel, it just reached the natural ending point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still under contract for another year, but he's not happy and they weren't happy with it. Like, why are we going to force this? And so I think that's what they need to do, either get him happy or think about alternatives, because I don't think it helps any team to have a guy around who isn't happy with his contract, who's in the last year of his deal, because all of a sudden, those injuries that you play through, you're not playing through them anymore, and I can't blame a player who doesn't have security beyond this year for saying, yeah, you know what, my hamstring's tight, I'm not going to go out there and risk tearing it and being out for months and putting bad film out there and not getting paid next year.
Joined by Mike Florio, editor of ProFootballTalk.com, and you've got a new book, Big Shield, which is available in paperback and ebook for, I believe, 99 cents. Is that right?
Just the ebook. The paperback's $14.99. Paper ain't free, and it's coming out August 19. You can pre-order it now. And this is something that is direct product of the Supreme Court opening the floodgates for state-by-state legalized gambling back in May of 2018. I've been concerned about the ways that a scandal in the NFL could undermine the integrity of the game. I worry about it far more, I think, than 345 Park Avenue does. But I've tried to envision a very simple set of facts that is very plausible as to how the mob in an age of widespread legalized gambling can get its hooks into a player. And one of the ways to do it, and I don't think the NFL worries about this nearly enough, is inside information, which is prevalent inside of a building in all forms and fashions. Who's injured? Who's not? Who's going to be featured on Sunday? Who isn't? What's the game plan? What's the first 15 plays? And then up to and including with real-time betting that's becoming more and more prevalent, what's happening during the game? What's the next play going to be? Is it going to be a run? Is it going to be a pass? And is there a way someone on the sideline who knows, maybe, you know, a backup quarterback who's got the radio in his helmet, can signal to someone what the next play is going to be and what do they do with that information? So that's the premise. And, you know, I've tried to use that premise to create a story that hopefully is entertaining and engaging. But at the end of the day, you know, I told myself the NFL is going to hate this book, but they should like it, because if players would read it, they probably will come away from it thinking, I shouldn't cozy up to, you know, the guy with one eyebrow and the gold chains who just wants a little information and he's going to give me a little money and the relationship goes from there.
Well, look, you've seen the Malik Beasley situation in the NBA, so it's not a stretch that it could happen in the NFL.
Oh, and I've got because the main mob character in this has a full array of athletes in all sports. And there's an NBA player who's doing some of the Jontay Porter stuff. He was the guy who was pulling himself out of games early, and there was unusual activity on the unders for his various props. The prop bets are the thing. See, it's not about rigging games. It's about those prop bets. And if you have the information, or if you have a player who will engineer his way out of a game before he hits his overs, that's the surest way to win on his unders.
Mm. Good stuff.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
Talk to you soon,
thank
man.
Thank you, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, pal.
Yes, sir.
Big Shield is the book, available in ebook or via paperback via pre-order. So thank you to Mike Florio for joining us. We'll be right back. So we're getting closer and closer to NFL training camp. And, you know, it is a slow time in the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking summer league hoops.
Right.
Because all you got is baseball. You know, you'll have an occasional golf tournament.
Well, I mean,
you got Wimbledon going on right now.
You got Wimbledon. You got the British Open, or not the British, but the Open Championship in golf next week. Yeah. So you got some stuff going on.
I know,
on.
But it's not like the fall.
No.
When things really get going with NFL and college football, and then hockey starts and NBA starts and college basketball. So there are all these articles kind of anticipating the NFL season. I kind of wanted your take on this. And maybe we can go and rank them, but there's some intriguing new head coaches this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, first of all, Pete Carroll's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's going to be coaching with the Raiders. And he's brought Geno Smith there. They drafted Ashton Jeanty. Just give me if you think they're going to be successful or not.
All right, what does
Pete Carroll, playoffs. Like, I don't know if, not necessarily in year one, but do you think his tenure, his return? Look, I think we would say, we saw Joe Gibbs come back here in Washington, and he did take him to the playoffs twice, but it was a losing record. I would say overall,
it was a very moderate success with Gibbs. He did bring a professionalism and an order to the organization.
And actually, under Snyder, it's pretty miraculous that they got to the playoffs twice in a 4-year span. It didn't happen again.
Well, I think the difference is that Pete's not going to be out like 17 years like Joe. So I think Pete has a better chance of sort of continuing his thing. I think he's a good coach.
All right, so give me we should have the sound effects, but are you going to say successful or not successful?
Well, we know what it is. Go from 4 to 10 wins or anything.
I'm not saying this year his tenure.
They're all hired to be fired, so eventually it'll go south. But I think he will eventually take the Raiders to the playoffs.
I think being successful means you get a second contract.
All right. So do you think he's going to be successful?
Marginally.
I think he's going to be
successful. Because I don't love the quarterback situation.
Again, it's subjective how you define successful.
Mm-hmm.
We know it when we see
They'll
it. Right?
Be way
Ron
better.
Rivera was not successful.
They'll be way better.
Right. Ron Rivera was not successful. So I would say he'll be successful.
He'll have them competitive.
How many new coaches are there? Six? There's about six. Okay, go ahead.
I think it's seven.
All right.
All right, let's go Ben Johnson. The much ballyhooed Ben Johnson.
Who the hell is he against Chicago?
Chicago. I'm going to say yes because he's got a ton of talent. I'm going to say Ben Johnson, yes, successful.
I mean, I guess.
But I know there's question marks.
I think he's a dweeb. But I guess.
Is he a genius? If he's a genius, then they'll be successful, right? But I'll tell you what, that NFC Championship game, he got way too cute. It was like he was trying to show everybody he's got every play in the bag. And instead of having Jared Goff throw, he has this, you know, receiver on a reverse throw pass, which Sandstrill picks off.
Yeah.
But that said, I do think they're set up for success. They, you know, smartly attacked the offensive line in the offseason.
Which they had to.
So they beefed up their offensive line. I mean, it's going to come down to Caleb. Caleb develop?
Of course.
Everybody thought a couple years ago that Mike McDaniel
always comes down to the quarterback.
Was a genius.
Yeah.
And now he's barely hanging on. He's barely
it's
hanging
a good
on
point.
In Miami.
So you're going to say yay or nay on successful?
Modest success.
So I'll give him a check mark.
Modest success.
All right.
Kellen Moore, who has taken over New Orleans. I'm going to say he's just not going to work out. I think they drafted Tyler Shuck?
Yeah. They just don't have, it's the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
They've got a dicey quarterback situation. Now they drafted him high. Does he turn into be a really good player?
Not successful.
Yeah. I just think it's just a bad spot. Like you could probably put some of the other coaches in that spot and I don't know that they'll be successful. Brian Schottenheimer with the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
Not successful.
I think that's the safe bet.
No,
it's my instinct. Safe bet.
That's my instinct. It's too much there, Jerry. Just too much. It's too much.
And then
overcome.
They were a 12-win team a couple seasons ago.
Yeah,
but Dak last year was horrible.
Dak has just been dicey in the postseason.
Yeah, but regular
you say
season
what you want
he's
about
been
Mike
good.
McCarthy. He was a good regular season coach.
Yeah,
I think it's a downgrade.
I'm gonna say average.
I'm gonna say
he might make the playoffs a couple times, but I don't know.
He's not gonna do better than his record will be worse than McCarthy's.
Whose record will be worse?
Schottenheimer's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His record will be worse than McCarthy. So I'm gonna say not successful. Because he's supposed to take it to the next step. Right? He's supposed to get him over the hump.
Yeah. It's so dependent on the quarterback. Like, if Dak can return to his form from a couple seasons ago, well, then they should be a playoff team.
Well, and then think about
but they got to do more than just get to the playoffs.
True. But, like JP's saying, if you go to the playoffs, you are successful. So, could they get to the playoffs this year? Sure.
Okay, but that's not... Their whole deal was they got to be better. They got to go further than what McCarthy could
take them. Yeah, I feel like for him, again, it's subjective. For him, I think success is... Yeah, you got to get your team, like, it's been forever since they've been to an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, they got
to need to go
that.
As far as what the Commanders did last year. Then they go, okay.
Right.
And I think he's got to do it within 2 years.
Yeah.
He doesn't have as much time as some of these guys.
I'm going to say no. He's going to be less successful than Mike McCarthy.
All right, Mike Vrabel.
All right, but he could still be successful.
Yeah, but
if you compare him to McCarthy, okay, a different story. But
right. I think that's the point, though.
But McCarthy didn't have great success in the playoffs.
If he just gets to the playoffs and loses,
it's more the same.
They're over that.
It's not a success. It's the same.
Yeah.
All right, but it's how you define the word.
Right, it's because of that situation.
Okay.
All right, so Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel's in New England.
I'm going to say yes, because I'm a believer in that quarterback.
Yeah, you love the quarterback. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good coach, so I'll say modest success. But it's all going to pale in comparison to what Bill and Tom did.
Of course.
So, modest success, because he's a good coach.
Out of all of the guys that you've already mentioned, I'll say Vrabel won.
He's your one seed?
Yep. In terms of how successful they'll be.
What was his... I know he had success, but I feel like it's a little overhyped. It's not like he ever went to the Super Bowl. Did he even go to a championship game? I don't think so. What's his playoff record?
Oh, I don't even know if he's won any playoffs.
I feel like he was a modest success and has gotten overhyped since.
I believe he did.
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs.
Okay.
He went to the playoffs five times.
5 times out of how many seasons?
How long was he there? 6?
So that's dude, pretty impressive.
Good. He's good.
That's pretty impressive.
I'm sorry. He coached in 5 playoff games. He went to the playoffs 3 out of 6 years.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Ron Rivera-ish.
He's good. He's good, but he'll pale in comparison to what Belichick did. So, but yeah, he'll be modestly successful.
For some reason I feel like he's overhyped. All right, so Aaron Glenn's taking over the Jets. You got Justin Fields, the quarterback. Fail. Like I feel
no,
like
no, Aaron Glenn was there last year, wasn't he? Oh no, this is his first year.
No, he was with Detroit.
Yeah. I'm not feeling Aaron Glenn.
I'm gonna say that's gonna be
fail
because again, it's the quarterback situation.
Yeah, it feels like the Kellen Moore situation in New Orleans.
Yeah,
you're just not set up for success.
I mean, unless these guys, play better than expected, and Tyler Shuck depends on how they progress and how quickly they progress.
My expectation is fail.
Yeah, and most of the coaches for the New York Jets have failed.
Correct.
I mean, how's he different than Robert Saleh? Hot defensive coordinator takes a gig. If you don't have the quarterback, you're pretty much screwed. Now maybe Justin Fields is developed and they figure something out. He's been hyped with his, leadership skills.
I have to say, I have an anti, what's his name? The head coach guy? Is it Gordon? What's his name?
Where?
With the Jets. You just mentioned him.
Aaron Glenn.
Yeah. I have an anti-Aaron Glenn thing since they did the Jets Hard Knocks. And was it the Jets Hard? No, it was the Eagles Hard Knocks. Whatever the hell it was. Or maybe it was Detroit's Hard Knocks.
It was the Lions. Yeah,
he was going back and forth with the offensive coordinator, and I thought it was embarrassing. I did not like the professionalism. It was out on
But what
Aaron
was
Glenn.
He going back and forth
they
about?
Just, they were talking trash to each other in practice, like players would, but their coach.
He and Ben Johnson were talking
to him? No, it wasn't Ben Johnson. It was
before Ben Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I did not like, I thought it was a bad look.
All right, so you're down on Aaron Glenn.
I'm out on Aaron Glenn.
All right, so that's kind of a first impression thing. This guy made a first impression at his press conference. He looks like AWOD, Liam Cohen. Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't know, dude. He looks like a loser. He looks like a dork.
He does, but, remember everybody was out on Nick Sirianni after his first press conference.
I think they're...
Like, could he be a boy genius?
Well, is Trevor Lawrence going to play like the number one pick in the draft, or is he going to play like a middle of the pack quarterback?
He'll play like a middle of the pack.
He'll play like
a top 12 quarterback.
Well, shoot, you'll take that compared to last year. He was bottom 12 last year.
Yeah, I think he's like a top 12-er, though. I think that's like his area. They'll be better.
Will he be a success?
Modest success.
So if I were to
but Jason's definition of the second contract, will he be their head coach in
five years? If you're fired in the first contract, you're not a success.
I agree. Yeah. Will Liam Cohen...
And if you get to the playoffs the majority of the time, you're going to get a second deal.
He's got Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
He's got Brian Thomas Jr. at wide receiver.
You know
got Trevor Lawrence.
To hold an NFL job for like 5 years? How long is his term? Did he sign a five-year deal?
You have to look that up.
Probably not. He probably signed like a three-year deal. I mean...
Okay, well, if he gets a second term, it's a success.
He'll have modest success. Okay, yes, he'll get
I'm just
a second
down
contract.
On
he signed a five-year contract.
He signed a five-year? He ain't going to be there 6 years.
Probably right.
According to Jeremy Fowler, he's making $12 million a year.
God.
That's crazy.
Five-year deal.
He's making 12.
That owner will get...
You can argue with Jeremy Fowler. That's what it says here.
That owner will be frustrated. That owner will fire him. So I guess I'm going to say...
Now, there's a different report which says his contract's worth $4.5 million a year.
Yeah, there's just no way he's making $12 million a year. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, 4.5 sounds more realistic.
Liam Cohen?
I mean... There's an article here that says, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, Cohen's five-year contract with the Jaguars pays an average of $12 million per year. This is more than double what he would have earned as the highest-paid offense coordinator. ESPN reported the agreement between the Bucs and Cohen when he was a coordinator was about $5 million per year.
All right. Well, I can't believe they're paying him that much money.
It's crazy.
Trevor Lawrence better throw 40 touchdowns.
The owner fired the Ohio State donk at 1 year, right?
During the year.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer was out.
Urban Meyer's not going to
He was a complete farce.
I agree, but Cohen's not going to last the full 5 years. No way. So failure.
So if I had to rank,
I'm going to say failure.
If I had to rank them right now, I'd go Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Carroll.
I might be Team Carroll.
Maybe Cohen
might be my number one.
Cohen, Moore, Glenn.
It's hard not to be tainted by the situations they have right now. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to put. Like let's say you loved Kellen Moore, but he's inheriting the Saints situation. It's tough to.
That's going
to
fail. That's going to fail.
Yeah, I have him.
I'm telling you, Drabby, I'm Team Pete. Pete
number one.
He's my favorite because he's picking up a terrible team. He'll advance the most.
I can't
win a playoff game.
I think
two.
Liam Cohen could be sneaky. Like we didn't expect Sirianni to be this stud.
True.
I can't get over how JP compared Vrabel to Ron Rivera.
He's just saying based on the.
No, well, I was just saying. I was saying that it's not that I compare their two coaching chops. I'm comparing
the numbers.
When Ron Rivera arrived here, we scrutinized his record, and he had only been to the playoffs half the time. Mm. And what he said is that Vrabel was there. Yes, it's half the time.
Right. I still think Vrabel coach circles around Ron, but
yes, they're not even close. They're not even.
But again,
the same
and Vrabel was dealing. I mean, Tannehill was his quarterback for the most part.
Yeah.
All right. Now I think he's got a better quarterback.
I think Vrabel and Pete, those are my top two.
All right, got to take a break if you want to chime in. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
All right, so I'm flying to Syracuse. Then I could probably have to take another Uber. I take an Uber to Ithaca because my daughter's doing it. Both my daughters are doing the Ithaca, the Cornell volleyball camp. My daughter Meg, who's graduated, is working it. My youngest daughter Kate, who'll be a rising junior, she's going to be participating in it. So I'm going to go up there and just.
I'm your Uber driver to the airport.
You're my Uber driver to the airport.
Has that always been a term? The rising whatever.
Yes,
rising really? Junior, rising sophomore. Rising.
I don't remember when I finished my freshman year. They're like, you're a rising sophomore.
I don't know when it started.
Nobody cared.
We've been saying it forever.
Yeah, I mean, in the world of sports, it's kind of a thing. But yeah. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It means nothing. But the point is they want me to go up there and hang out. By the way, as a side note, they want, since today's an off day, Kate did another camp at another school yesterday. They want to go visit waterfalls. Ooh, today.
Nice.
All right.
I'd rather eat a bullet.
You're not, seriously, you're not into waterfalls?
Do you just,
you can go in there.
Go walk. I don't think
not
there's
just
any
look,
I don't
just think, swimming.
No, I don't think it's a thing up there. I think you just go look at them. And it's not like it's Hawaii. I just don't want to go walk around like some
what
like
else
hike.
What else would you want to do? Like, what's your alternate?
You sound like such a joy to be around.
Just wants
I can't believe
in
they want you to sit there.
If it was up to me, I'm not doing it. No, if it was up to me, I would bring my clubs and I would go to the Robert Trent Jones course and I'd hit balls. Well, and you know, then I'd go to dinner. You know, that's.
Yeah, but you think your girls want to hit balls with you every single time?
No, they don't. But I just don't like, I don't like stuff like that. I'm sorry. It just, I'm selfish. They should go do it, and I should go do something else. But anyway,
well,
I got it.
You control that. If you don't want
to
do it,
stay home.
Yeah.
Because she wants me to go.
What's the point of going?
She wants me to go be with, because they're going to be there for 3 days. So, you know, go and have dinner and, you know, be with them. But I did not know that on the off day, part of the agenda was going to be go walk around and see the gorges, which, you know, I drive by them all the time. But that would require parking and getting and just like hiking. Do you guys like hiking?
I might do some hiking on my European trip.
I don't mind.
Do you like hiking?
That's fine.
I don't love it. I mean,
you go to LL Bean or something and get hiking boots or REI.
No,
I
just wear tennis shoes.
Guy?
Just wear tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes.
You need hiking boots, Rick.
Yeah, you just wear tennis shoes.
That, man.
Wear the same shoes I'm wearing right now.
Walk through the hills.
I'm not a hiker. I have friends that are hikers. I'm not a hiker. It's not a thing. But I might be hiking.
Hey, you know what
today.
You should do? Go get a push cart and you pretend you're on Norbeck when you're hiking through, the waterfalls.
Yeah, I mean.
So what's it been like being solo at home?
Well, that's the thing. So I've been home, like, they left Monday? I don't even remember. I've been home all week.
So have you gone out to dinner every night?
No.
I would.
I've gone out to dinner none of the nights. Actually, this is what I did. I made 2 pounds of salmon. And I just cut it up. I sliced it up in like 5 or 6 slices.
You can eat it every night? Oh.
Simple. Lunch, sometimes for lunch, too.
It's healthy.
I don't know.
It's just somewhat healthy.
I had salmon that needed to be cooked.
Yeah.
So I just cooked it. It was big-ass salmon, chopped it up into a bunch of pieces, and I've been eating that every night.
Mm. So you're going to be a joy this weekend when you don't want to do anything that they want to do.
I just don't want to hike. I don't like hiking. I don't like going to museums.
All right, museums are different. I wouldn't want to do that.
I've
never been to Niagara Falls, but people who
I've been to Niagara Falls.
You have?
Yeah.
That's had to have been very cool.
It's cool.
I've never been. It's
very cool for about 20 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. That's something I should do before I pass.
Yeah. I've said this many times. He's always been like this. So me, Stumper, and
Stump-a-dump.
EB went on a Florida trip. Mm-hmm. Now, my brother was a freshman at the University of Miami, and I kind of tagged along to go see my brother at Miami. It was going to be 3 days we were going to spend in Coral Gables.
Right.
EB wanted to go to take pictures at spring training.
Spring training,
so he
right.
had his camera. Stumper, he was getting autographs. Whatever. So I tagged along really for the spring training part. I really didn't care about that. It was like, we're going to go and we're going to go out and have a good time in Miami. EB didn't go out one time.
He sat in the
hotel.
He
didn't do anything. He said he had a cold coming on.
He sat in a hotel.
We were in a dorm, I think.
Or dorm, whatever.
I think I did my share of going out, you know, as life progressed. But yeah, at that time, I didn't care to.
Uh-huh.
I had a girlfriend.
Well,
what was I going to go do? I didn't know. What was I going to go do?
Who knows? Stumper went out. What was he going to do?
Well, he would always probably. I don't know. This just wasn't my thing.
I just went out and had, you know, had a good time.
What do you mean?
Maybe had a cold coming.
Remember
on.
That story?
I just think he's always like that.
Remember that story I told you about when I went down to visit my buddy and he went to South Florida. I met him at Richmond and then he transferred to South Florida and I went down to see him at South Florida down the Tampa area.
Yeah.
And we went out and I met this girl.
I know that area.
And I told her I was, I pitched for the Blue Jays.
Right. I thought you were going to say he told her you were a punter.
No, I told her I was a pitcher for the Blue Jays.
Right. Yep. Did it work out?
And I'm.
Did you close the deal?
And I'm. No.
No, what was the name?
No, but that's what I would.
You said you were Tom Ruin one year in the Super Bowl.
Tom Ruin.
And then, but there was also the pitcher. I can't remember the pitcher
Yes.
And I feel it was
I have to go back and look at the Paul
Quantrill. Quantrill. That's exactly who it is.
It was.
Paul Quantrill. Yeah. Yeah, you nailed it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell her I was, freaking.
Jason Bishop.
Roger Clemens.
Yeah, but why didn't you just say you were Jason Bishop?
Because I wanted to impress her a little bit.
Didn't you also do stuff?
I wanted to impress her.
Didn't you also tell people like you're a doctor? Like, don't you do stuff like that? Wasn't there a story we did one time?
No. He told some. Didn't he tell some girl that he was a gynecologist?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. I remember that. I was married at the time.
Yeah. He's just messing around.
I was just effing with her.
You just wanted to talk to her about the vagina?
I was just effing with her. My wife and I went to a beach house where there was a beach party and with a bunch of other couples, and I met this woman, and she was complaining about something, and I told her, yeah, I'm a gynecologist. She started asking me questions. I was just making up stuff. She believed me, too.
I do think there's some sort of...
It's in his DNA because...
He has some sort of identity thing.
Yeah, because remember he changed his name when he was a kid?
Like he's
Larry.
Larry. What is it with
what do you mean he changed his name as an adult?
Are you like... From Lurch to Bish? Yeah.
Well...
No, yeah. I was Bish before
other way
Lurch.
Around.
I don't know.
You guys changed my name.
He has some sort of like... Schizophrenia or something. I don't know what
I'm a little psycho.
He wants like an alternate identity.
Yeah,
he's not comfortable in his own shoes.
You might be right. Yeah. Might have something to do with it.
Well,
yeah, but you're right. I was Paul Quantrill and Tom Ruin.
So you're a gynecologist.
So you've been Tim Salmon during the week.
What do you I've been Tim Salmon. But I thought, you know, it would be like back like in college. Drabby, what was your record in college in one day? How many whistles in one day?
Whistles? I think five.
Five?
Five, maybe.
I mean, five is outrageous. I would say like three, maybe. But
right. Hey, I mean, I could do that today if I wanted.
Okay. Well, turns out I can't because I've been home all week.
You're just not interested.
Barely one. Barely one a day.
What happened to you?
Don't know.
Golf.
It's just too many golf videos.
It's
too much effort. I thought it would be like Cakes when he was on his sex trip a few years ago and he thought he was going to have like 100 sessions. I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. I'd be by home alone. Barely one a day. Barely.
You're forcing yourself.
Kind of forcing myself.
Because you don't want to go below one
you're
a day.
Home, you're home alone for 10 hours.
Right. Yeah,
there's a young guy who works here. I was talking to him yesterday. He's got a girlfriend. He said he hadn't had sex in 5 days. And he said, I'm going insane, man. I can't handle it. I go, 5 days?
Who is that?
I'll tell you off air. I don't know.
It's a young guy here?
He's a young guy. He's got a girl. He said he didn't know what to do with himself anymore. He was thinking he was thinking about, like, his body physically couldn't handle it anymore. And I'm like, why don't you go just...
Yeah, take care of it.
You go take care of it. And he goes, no, I need sex. I got to be intimate with her. My gosh, must be nice.
Is he here now?
A new relationship.
Who's it, Linnell?
I know who it is.
No, you wouldn't be able to guess.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Well, I don't really.
I don't know if I know his name.
I love it's one of the longtime guys. I don't really know some of the
I'll
new
tell
people
you, I'll
wandering
tell you
around.
Break.
All right,
it's one of the young guns.
All right,
one of the young guns that are going
to
replace.
Well, anyway, it's good to be young. I mean, when you're 42, good to be young. you don't care about that.
I'm disappointed in myself. I just say that I'm disappointed in myself.
All right, need pep talk.
That's just. Everything just falls apart as you get older.
All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on The Junkies.